آمنوا, they believed, ثم ارتدوا, they became apostate, ثم ماتوا على الكفر, and then they died upon disbelief, they died upon kufr. Hazrat Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, he says that دخل في هذه الآية كل منافق كان في أهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that all munafiqeen, they fall within the scope and ambit of this ayah, في البر والبحر, all those who were munafiqeen, all those who were hypocrites, whether they were on the ground, whether they were on the earth, whether they are on the sea, they are all munafiqeen, and this ayah is related to them. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, he says that yukhbiru ta'ala amman dakhala fil iman thumma raja'a fihi thumma 'ada ila al iman thumma raja'a wastamara 'ala dalalihi wazdada hatta mata fa innahu la tawbata lahu ba'da mawtihi. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing that those people who brought faith and then they reverted back, they became apostate, and then they came back to iman, then they became apostate, and then they remained on dalalat, they remained on this astray path, and they increased in stubbornness until they died. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept their tawbah after their death, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive them. وَلَا يَجْعَلُ لَهُ مِمَّا هُوَ فِيهِ فَرَجًا وَلَا مَخْرَجًا وَلَا طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْهُدَى, nor will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make any farj for them, any kind of path for them, وَلَا مَخْرَجًا, or any kind of exit for them, so that they can be relieved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْهُدَى, nor will they be guided towards the right path. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, لَمْ يَكُنِ اللَّهُ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ وَلَا لِيَهْدِيَهُمْ سَبِيلًا, that never will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them nor guide them to the right way. That لَمْ يَكُنِ اللَّهُ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ وَلَا لِيَهْدِيَهُمْ سَبِيلًا, that never will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them nor guide them to the right way. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show them no respite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive them, will not excuse them. وَلَا لِيَهْدِيهُمْ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not guide them towards any path towards Jannah. Allama Zamakhshari rahmatullah alayh, the great mufassir and linguist of the Quran, he said that this ayah, it doesn't mean annahum law akhlasu lil iman, that it doesn't mean that those who are sincere in their faith, ba'da takrar radda, even if they became apostate multiple times but then they became sincere believers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. يُقْبَلُ مِنْهُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their iman. وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ وَلَكِنُوا إِسْتِبْعَادْ لَهُ وَإِسْتِغْرَابْ, but it is far-fetched. It is far-fetched that they would do this. That if someone is very stubborn in his ways, then it is far-fetched that they would come back to the faith with ikhlas, with iman. وَاسْتَغْرَبَ وَإِسْتِغْرَابْ, إِسْتِبْعَادْ, it is very ba'id. And it is far-fetched to believe this. And it's not possible that they would believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with conviction. And we see, وَهَكَذَا تَرَى الْفَاسِقَ الَّذِي يَتُوبُ ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُ ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ لَا يَكَادُ يُرْجِعُ مِنْهُ الثَّبَاتِ, that a fasiq who is persistent in committing sins, a fasiq who is persistent, he is Muslim, but he is persistent in committing sins. You see that he consistently goes back to that sin. He consistently goes back to that sin. Now, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his magnanimity, will forgive that fasiq. But la yakadu yurji minhu thabat, but this person will not have that ability to completely stay away from sin. That thabat is not going to be there. That conviction, that absolute conviction to stay away from sin, especially one who is engrossed in fisk, he will not be able to stay away from that. And this is something that is a reality. Wal ghalib annu yamutu ala sharri hal. And ghalib, according to the scholar, according to Allama Zamakhshari, is that this person unfortunately will die upon sharri hal. He will die in a very evil state if he persists in his fisk. This is why it is important to stay away. Jij, addiction of dhunub. That if a person persists in sin, he continues in sin, then this person, he will not be forgiven. And this is a problem, that taqwa is inherently found in all of our ibadat. Taqwa is found in salat, taqwa is found in zakat, taqwa is found in hajj, taqwa is found in fasting, taqwa is found in all ibadat that we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is inherently found. But the problem is the staying away from sin, distancing oneself from sin. If one The problem is not taqwa. The problem is not achieving taqwa. The problem is staying away from sin. This is the problem. If one stays away from sin, then these actions, inshallah, will benefit him. These actions will permeate throughout his body, throughout his soul, throughout his heart. It will cleanse his heart. It will cleanse his being. And this person will then feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be within the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the problem is not doing ibadat. It is not performing ibadat. The problem is staying away from sin. And it is extremely difficult in this day and age to really distance oneself away from sin. The three common modes of sin are, the television, is the internet, and the TV, and the computer. These are the three modes of sin, which has become very common now. If a person can stop himself, if a person can stay away from these modes of sin, then inshallah all of his ibadat will help him, all of his ibadat will bring him closer to the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُنَافِقِينِ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained that never will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them nor guide them to the right way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that بَشِّرِ الْمُنَافِقِينِ, that give heavy tidings. Give heavy tidings to those munafiqeen. Those munafiqeen whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive nor guide to the right way, that for them awaits a very painful torment. بَشِّرِ, that over here, basharat doesn't mean good tidings, it means heavy tidings. Although basharat is used for glad tidings, but over here it is used as tahakkuman, as tahqir, to show that that these people, they are going to receive a painful torment, and this is what awaits them. الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That these munafiqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to describe the munafiqeen, that these people, they take the kuffar as allies instead of Muslims. They take the kuffar, those who are non-Muslims, they take them as allies and they make them friends. They have made them their allies, they have made them their friends. وَيَتَّخِذُونَهُمْ أَعْوَانًا وَأَنصَارًا. They consider them as aids. لِمَا يَتَوَهُمُونَ فِي مِنَ الْقُوَّةِ يَتْرُكُونَ وِلَايَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Because they consider them very strong. They consider the non-Muslims as invincible, which they are not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following ayah alludes to this, that instead of you becoming friends with mu'mineen, with the mu'mineen who have trust and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead you take these non-Muslims as friends. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنَّهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ. Do you seek invincible might from them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the munafiqeen of Medina, because this was their state, this was their hal. That do they seek invincible might from them? Is this why they are seeking help from them? They are seeking aid from them. They consider them as allies, as friends, as helpers. Do they seek invincible might from them? أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ. Do you think that they have might? No. فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةِ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. No. Indeed, invincible might, verily invincible might is only reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That invincibility is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِي أَوْلِيَائِهِ, and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions that the maqsood min hadhi tahyij, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to divert our attention, that izzat and honor should be sought from those who have izzat and honor. Those who apparently it seems that they have izzat and honor because of some status, but at the same time they may have izzat and honor in this world, but that izzat and honor is superficial. It is because of their state. It is because of that position they carry this izzat and honor. It's not because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is true izzat and honor. That izzat and honor which we have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the izzat and honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at any other izzat and honor except that. وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed upon you the book, that أَيْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran upon you, and in there it is clearly mentioned that iman, what is iman and what is kufr, what is considered as iman and what is considered as nifaq. An idha sami'tum ayati la yukfaru biha wa yustahza'u biha, that this Quran that we have revealed upon you, You listen to the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you listen to the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then what you do? Yukfaru biha, you belied them. Wa yustahza'u biha, you mocked the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ay, unzila alaykum annahu idha sami'tum al-Qur'an, yukfaru bihil kafirun, wa yastahzi'u bihil mustahzi'un. That when the Qur'an was revealed upon you, and when you listen to it, yukfaru biha, you belied the Qur'an, you rejected the Qur'an. وَيَسْتَهْزِئُ بِهِ, and you mocked the Qur'an, you made fun of the Qur'an with those who were also making fun of the Qur'an. فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُدُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not sit with those who engage in talk which is tantamount to mocking the Qur'an. So what the Muslims would do is that they would sit with the munafiqeen. And the munafiqeen, unfortunately, they would mock the Qur'an or they would mock certain ahkam just so that they could put the mu'mineen, they could put the believers in a position where, you know, they would question the Qur'an, they would question the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that فَلَا تَقُدُوا مَعْهُمْ, that do not sit with those people. Those who mock the Qur'an, those who belie the Qur'an, one should not sit with them, one should not engage with them in any way. أَيْ لَا تَجْلِسُوا مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Do not sit with those non-Muslims. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ, those that mock the ayat and verses of the Qur'an. حَتَّى يَتَحَدَّثُوا بِحَدِيثٍ آخر, until they speak about other things. Until they are talking about other things, don't sit with them. If they are talking about other things, there is no problem in joining that conversation. But if the conversation, it digresses to mocking the Qur'an, belying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one should not sit with them. Whether they are Muslim, whether they are non-Muslim. Because certain Muslims, they also have the habit of making fun of Qur'an. They also have the habit of making fun of Sunnah as well. Making fun of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That, you know, why is this way? Or why is this that way? Or this is very ancient. Or the Qur'an is a very ancient book. The ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are ancient. And we are living in the 21st century. So we have to, you know, we have to conform to present day social aspects and present day whatever is in vogue now. This is what we have to conform our lives upon. And this Quran, it should not be followed anymore. Rather, it was revealed to those people who had a need for the Quran. They had a genuine need for the verses that are found in the Quran. They had a genuine need of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nowadays, you know, times are different, so we will act differently, and we will pattern our lives in accordance to society. But we have to understand that the Quran is a timeless book. It is a timeless book. It wasn't specific for a certain period. It wasn't specific for those who lived 1400 years ago. You know, the Quran is something that is going to remain till the Day of Judgment. As Muslims, we have to follow each and every verse of the Quran. As Muslims, we have to follow each and everything the Prophet ﷺ said. And whatever the Prophet ﷺ said, whatever the Quran said. Because when we question the Quran, we are in reality questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send a Prophet at that time? Why not send this time? Well, fundamentally, this person's question, fundamentally, he has a problem with his faith. If somebody is questioning that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the Quran 1400 years ago instead of now, then you are questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are basically questioning that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the Quran 1400 years ago? That means you don't even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't believe in his decision. So that person has a problem from square one. And this problem needs to be rectified. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a Nabi? Why not somebody else? This is questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the munafiqeen would do. This is what the Yahud and the Christians would do. The Jews and the Christians, that they would question that, why the Prophet? Why not somebody else? Why not from amongst us? Well, if they sat down to really think about what they are saying and who they are questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are questioning the Supreme Creator, which is not permissible. It is not permissible to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, this is within His infinite wisdom. Whatever decision Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes, this is within His infinite wisdom. So we have no right to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same verse, when people engage in mocking the Quran, in mocking the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said this, then that person, then we should not engage in any talk. Because if we do, not only are we creating his Jahannam for him, we are also listening to him. Because this person is going to persist. If you engage in another Muslim, that, you know, why doesn't he believe in Quran? Why doesn't he believe in Hadith? Then that person, he is just creating his own Jahannam. And you are responsible for that. It is better to let that person be, let him go, and make dua for him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him. Unless you think that something good is going to come out of your conversation with him, then you can engage him. Then you can engage that type of individual. But if you think that nothing good is going to come out, no matter how much you try, then it is better not to discuss anything with him. Because this person is going to, he is simply digging a hole for himself. And we are responsible for that. And we cannot be responsible for something like that. Another thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this, where innakum idha mithluhum, for indeed you would then be like them. If you are sitting with non-Muslims who are belying the Quran, who are mocking the Quran, then you're like them. Because you're not saying anything. You're not saying anything that is contradicting them. You're not saying anything that would attest to the veracity of the Quran. You're not supporting the Quran. You're simply sitting there and listening. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then, well, you're the same. That means you're satisfied with what they are saying. Now, if the opportunity is there to say something, one should say something. But if the opportunity is not there, for example, this is an opportunity of nahi and munkar. This is an opportunity to prevent any wrongdoing. Now, if there's only one person and there's 6-7 people speaking against Islam, then if you say something, right, most likely they will harm you. And of course, at that time, the Sharia will excuse one, that, you know, yourself needs to be preserved. Your nafs, yourself, needs to be preserved. So at that moment, you should not say anything. This is not, yes, nahi al munkar is permissible at that juncture. But if it is done, if nahi al munkar is done, more than likely, you will be harmed. And the Sharia wants to prevent that. So rather than saying anything, one should not say anything. But if the opportunity is there, right, if the opportunity, he should say something. Otherwise, if they persist and there are so many people, then leave that majlis. Don't even stay there just because, well, they may be your friends. They may be people who you know. They may be your co-workers. It may be your boss. Either change the subject or move away from that kind of conversation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innakum idham mithluhum, that for indeed you'd be like them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in a hadith that man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum, that whoever imitates a group of people, then he is part of them. He is part of that group. If a person imitates the non-Muslims because they have a distinctive characteristic or a distinctive way they would dress or they would comb their hair, then it is not permissible. If they have a distinctive way that they dress, they comb their hair, or they do something, then it is not permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his dress was different. The way he used to part his hair was different. The way he used to trim his mustache was different. The way his facial hair was, it was different. The way whatever he used to wear, shalwar or the sarong, it was different. All of these things, when you add it, it was a very different person. It was a very different type of clothing, and it was a very different demeanor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had when compared against the non-Muslims. People say that, well, the clothing of that time was similar. This is what people contend. But when you add all of these little things, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wear a turban, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wear a hat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wear a kurta, he would wear a sarong, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would have his shalwar or sarong above his ankles, he would part his hair differently, right? He would do everything differently, his facial hair was different. These small changes, right, they add up, and they become something big. And one would easily be able to recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from those who were non-Muslims, although the clothing may be the same. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not wear red clothing, or yellow clothing. He would not. I mean, this was something that the non-Muslims would do. So these are small changes, but they add up, which indicates that the Prophet ﷺ had a unique dressing style. He had a unique way which he used to groom himself. So this is why it is important that Muslims should have their own identity. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, that a person will be with those whom he loves. Rasulullah ﷺ has mentioned in a hadith, when somebody asked him that, you are going to be in Jannatul Firdaus, and of course because you are a prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you a very high status in Jannah. But what about me? What about me? You know, I'm a simple Muslim. I offer my salat, I give my alms, I fast, I do my hajj. And of course I can never reach your level. I can never reach that pinnacle, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you. I can never reach that. I can never hope to reach that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stayed quiet, because this was a very deep question. And then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came, informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his answer was given, that al mar'u ma'a man ahab, that a person will be with whom he loves. If he loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But true love is not just saying that I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not what true love is. Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, he said that the Yahud and the Nasara say we love Moses. Do they follow Musa alayhi salam? The Christians say we love Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Do they follow Hazrat Isa alayhi salam? Do they follow his commands? So even the Jews and the Christians, they say yes, we love our prophets. But that is not what love is. Love is not something which is uttered. Love is something that should be followed. Love, if you love someone, then that person should be followed to the letter. It's similar to a child. A child loves his father. When a child is young, he will imitate, correct me if I'm wrong, a child will imitate the father in every way. I've seen my children put on deodorant. Right? They see the father putting on deodorant, child also puts on deodorant. A father puts on attar, child will also put on attar. The father will dress a certain way, the child will also want to dress that way. And this is what love is. The child does that not because he's just doing that just for the sake of imitation. No, because he really loves the father. He loves the father. He wants to be like the father. He wants to be like the father. So this is how muhabbat will come. If we have true muhabbat for the Prophet ﷺ, we will not simply utter the words, yes, I love the Prophet ﷺ, and I cannot tolerate when someone speaks ill about the Prophet. This is not what muhabbat is. True muhabbat and true love is following Rasulullah ﷺ to the letter. To the letter. And this muhabbat was found amongst the Sahaba. This love was found amongst the Sahaba. We think there was a scholar, and he said, Fudail bin Ayaz, he said, Turid an taskunul firdaus, that you guys wish that you will, you know, stay in Firdaus, wa tujawiru Rahman, and that you will be the neighbor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi dari min ma'an nabiyyin wa siddiqin wa shuhada, with those who are anbiya, those who are siddiq, those who are shuhada, those who are sulaha, you wish to be with them. Bi ayyi amalin amilatu, what amal did you do? What amal did you do so that you can be in their company? Bi ayyi shahwatin tarakata, what kind of desire did you go away from? What kind of desire did you leave? You did everything. Bi ayyi ghayzin katamathu, what kind of anger apne kis tarah ka gussa ghoonta, what kind of anger did you suppress? Bi ayyi rahimin qati'atin wasalata, what kind of ties did you mend? When people broke the ties of kinship, did you mend those ties? Fudail bin Ayaz is a very great scholar. Bi ayyi zallatin li akhika ghafarata, what kind of fault did you forgive? What kind of fault? Your Muslim brother committed a fault. He committed a fault. Did you forgive that fault? What did you do? Did you forgive that fault? Bi ayyi qareebin ba'adtahu fillah, what ibadat did you do so that you can become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Bi ayyi ba'idin qarabtahu fillah, what did you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then we say that, oh yes, you know, we want to stay in Jannatul Firdaus, we want paradise, we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we love Allah, we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What have we done? This brings everything to light, that what exactly have we done in this world? Have we lived our lives according to Quran and Sunnah? Have we patterned, is our a'mal, the Quran, is our a'mal a reflection of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? Are our desires, did we stop our desires? Did we stay away from sin? Did we do good acts? Did we protect our Muslim brother? Did we forgive our Muslim brother's fault? Did we suppress our anger? And then we think we're deluded. Fudayl ibn Ayaz, he is saying that basically we are laboring under this delusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant us Jannat for free. No, nothing comes for free. Just like in this country, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Jannat is not going to come free for the mu'mineen, although we are mu'min, but it's not going to come free. There will be something to pay. There will be something to pay no matter how much. This is why this is the opportunity to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do the best that we can in this world so that our lives in the hereafter are built. Inna Allah jami'u al-munafiqin wal-kafirin fi jahannam jami'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the munafiqin and the non-Muslims in jahannam, each and every single one of them. Ayyajma'u al-fariqin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the non-believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the hypocrites in the akhirah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them, place them in jahannam. Then al-mar' ma'a man ahab. Because a person is going to be with those whom he loves. If he loves the non-Muslims, he is going to be placed with them. If he loves their distinctive lifestyle, go with them, go with those who you love. But if you love the prophets, if you love the shuhada, if you love the sulaha, if you love those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you in their company. And this is why good company is essential, because good company ultimately rubs off on each and every single individual. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards that which is most upright. Stop over here.